sorry that I can't be there with you in person, but Baruch Hashem, at least we get to learn with each other virtually a little bit. So our daf today is Samech Vav, beginning by thanking all of our sponsors. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Teves, Haba Alein Latova, Mrs. Selma Wolf for dedicating all of Shem and Drushos this month with immense gratitude for the refuos from Hashem, and the merit of a refuos shlema for all of those in need, and the schus of our brave hostages and soldiers. Leah Schos is a Schos Refuah Shlema for our daughter Ilana Bas Esther, for the safety of our soldiers and the safe return of all of the hostages to their families. And of course, we dedicate all of Maseches Baba Kamo Le'ilui Nishmas Master Sergeant Eliyahu Michal Harush Hashem Yikom Domo. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his Nisham will have an Aliyah and the family in it. But with that, let us begin. Today's Daf, is Daf Samech Vov 66. And we are picking up Emir Hashem on Samech Hemed Beis. I know we got a little Rebbe Richter, got a little bit further, Baruch Hashem, but let's actually just pick up again at the two dots, 65B at the two dots, 2, 4, 6, 8, about nine lines off on the bottom. Maskif lo Rabbi Zera. So remember, again, Rabbi said Rabbi Zera is coming and commenting on the statement of Rabbi Ilon. Rabbi Ilon said in yesterday's daf that if a person steals a young lamb, ganav tala v'na'ase ayil, egel v'na'ase shar, na'ase shinoi b'yada ukno. So Rabbi Loi said, essentially, if you steal a young animal, and ultimately, again, it becomes a mature animal, that halacha l'maisa, ultimately, again, the thief has acquired the animal. Similarly, again, tavach u'machar shalot tavach. So therefore, again, interestingly enough, so if you were to steal the young animal, it were to mature, and then you were to subsequently go ahead and slaughter it, and sell it, that ultimately you would not be chayiv 4 or 5 time penalty amount. Why? Because in essence, you're slaughtering and selling your own animal. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Maskif Rabbi Zera, v'nikninu b'shinui Hashem. But the truth is, one should be able to go ahead and, acquire the animal through a change in identity. So there's this concept that when you steal something, if let's say you steal it, it has one identity, and then the identity evolves, the thief should be able to acquire the animal through, by dint, of a change of identity, shinui Hashem. So Rashi says over here, Rashi says nikninu b'shinui Hashem nehi l'shevach tegufelo havishinui demamela kashavach va'azol miu b'shma v'adeishtani. So here's what's interesting. Even if we reject Rabbi Eloi's premise, namely Rabbi Eloi's whole idea was that physical maturation is enough to affect a change to transfer ownership to the thief. Even if we reject that idea, why not say that ultimately, again, when the animal matures, even though the physical maturation doesn't transfer to the rishus of the thief, maybe the change of name, change of identity, ultimately causes it to become the thief's property? Amar Rava. Rava said it doesn't work, and I'll tell you why. Rava says, Shar ben yomo kari shar, ayil ben yomo kari ayil. So Rava says, because at the end of the day, even a young, right, a calf is still called an ox, right? And at the end of the day, a lamb is still called a ram. In other words, even a young shar is still called a shar, and a young ayil is still called an ayil. So in other words, maturation doesn't really cause change of identity. Tichsiv, the Gemara says, Shar ben yomo kari shar, even a young calf is still called an ox. Tichsiv, Shar o kasef o eiz ki yivaleid. So you see again, it's talking about the birth of the animal, and it calls it a shar, even though it's really a calf, but it calls it an ox, even though it's young. Ayil ben yomo kari ayil, and so a one day old ram is still called a ram. Dichsiv ve'ele tzoncha lo achalti. Ayalim hu delo achal kvasim hu achal. Remember, this is Yaakov even talking to Lavan, and Yaakov was trying to make the point to Lavan that the entire time that I watched your flock, you suffered no losses. So if you take the pasuk literally, what is Yaakov saying? I didn't consume any rams, but what? I ate young sheep. I consumed sheep. Alav shmamina ayal ben yomo kari ayal. Ayal ben yomo kari ayal. Right. So interestingly enough, so the Gemara says, you see from here that's what that halacha lemaisa. Animals don't really have shinui shem. They don't really have change of identity. In other words, even though we have a different name for an immature animal, a young animal, versus an older animal, the identity is really the same. It's actually a very profound Musar Haskil as well. You know, the fundamental distinction between animals and man is the inability to evolve in an identity. Animals have one identity. It's the same identity. Even though, again, when they're little, when they're young, they're small. As they get older, they get larger. So there's a change in physicality, but the identity is the same. A one-day-old shar is still called a shar. A one-day-old ayil is still called an ayil. That's what it means to be an animal. You are fixed in an identity. On the other hand, what's the godless of man, the godless of an Adam? is that I could have one identity today and what? Become someone totally new tomorrow. Just like the Gemara says, a Gershon is when a person converts, Kikatan Shinolavdami, they're like someone who's reborn. You know, that doesn't just have to be a din and a ger and a convert. Any person who says, you know what, I want to start over, I want to start again. So suddenly again, I have the ability to become a dramatically new person. An animal is fixed in its identity. Even a one-day-old shar is called a shar. A one-day-old isle is called an isle. But man, should he want to evolve? Should he want to transcend his current identity? He absolutely, unequivocally has the ability to do so. I'm going to have Shay Mercy. Mikol Makom Kasha. Aye. But the question still stands. In other words, to Rabbi Eloi. I'm going to have Shay. It's very interesting. Hamani. Beis Shammayu. Whose opinion is being reflected over here? It's Beis Shammai. Now listen to this. The Amri, Shinui Bimkomo Omedes. So Beis Shammai is of the opinion that Halacha Lamaisa, even if the animal or the object undergoes some type of change, it still remains in the possession of its original owner. In other words, change in the item, be it again in identity or be it again in just maturation or, in the identity of the item, does not cause the item to leave its original owner's domain. It's still owned by the owner. Shinui bimkomo omedes. Even with a change, even if the object undergoes or the animal undergoes some type of change, bimkomo omedes means it still remains under the ownership of the original owner. Velokani, and therefore the thief doesn't acquire it. So let's analyze this. So the Gemara says, Disanya, listen to this. Nasan la be'esnana, chitin va'asa'an soles, zeisin va'asa'an shemen, anavim va'asa'an yayim. So here's the case. A man goes to a harlot. Okay, not good. Man goes to a harlot. And what does he do? He pays her for her services. And either he gives her wheat. And she goes and takes the wheat. She takes the wheat and she makes it into flour. Or he goes ahead and he gives her olives and she makes it into oil. Or he goes in and gives her grapes and she makes it into wine. So in other words, the man has given the harlot one type of item for payment, and now the harlot has transformed that item into something different. So what's the halacha? Tani chada aser v'tani chada mater. Now, let's analyze this. The idea of the Torah says that an esnan zona, payment that a harlot receives for her services, if she receives, let's say, an animal, or she receives something else that could normally be used in a sacrificial capacity, it's not allowed to be offered up on the Mizbeach. Logical, right? Because since the zona ultimately received this for an immoral act, it would be inappropriate to offer it up on the Mizbeach. So what's interesting about this over here in this case is as follows. She's receiving an object for payment, but at the end of the day, then she's transforming the object into something else, right? So the wheat is becoming flour, the olives are becoming oil, the grapes are becoming wine. So the shaila is, does the item in its new form still have the status of harlot payment or not? Esnan zona or not? So the Gemara says, Tani chada aser v'tani chada moter, it's machlokas. One opinion says, so two different prices. One opinion says that it's moter, one opinion says that it's aser. Vam Rav Yosef. Tani Gurion de me'aspurak be'shamay osrim be'silom maternus. Machlokes be'shamay silom. Be'shamay are the ones that say that it's osir. So be'shamay say even though the zona took the payment and transformed it into something different, it's still called payment for a zona and therefore it's osir. Beis Hillel says no. Once it changes form, ultimately again it is going to be mutter. My time to be'shamay. What's be'shamay's logic? Siv gam. Because the pasuk says, Lo savi esnan zona mechir kela beis Hashem. Do not bring the payment for a harlot or mechir kela, something exchanged or sold for a dog, to offer it up in the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'chol neder, ki savas Hashem elokecha gam shnehem. Because these things are considered to be an abomination. Now the word gam also means also. So obviously the word gam is coming to include something additional. According to Beis Shammai, what's being included over here? Not only the actual item given for payment, but even if that item is exchanged for something else, you're not allowed to use that for karbanic, for sacrificial purposes as well. Ubeis Hillel, heim velo shinu yehem. Ultimately, again, Beis Hillel says, no, heim, the pasuk heim teaches, or the word heim teaches us, it's only actual payment to the zona that can't be used for a karban. But if she subsequently transforms it into something else, it is permitted to utilize that as a karban. Incredible. Ubei Shammai. Top of 66. Samech Vav. Ubei Shammai heim. Velo vlad oseim. Huda asa. Beis Shammai uses the word heim. He says heim means that it's only the actual item given to the zonah. Let's say Reuven goes to a zonah, he gives her a sheep as payment. Now that sheep has offspring. It's only the actual sheep that is prohibited, but the offspring will be permitted for sacrificial use. Beisilo, Tarti Shamus Mine, Beisilo learns two things out of Haim. Number one, Haim Velo Shino Yehem. Number one, it teaches us that only the actual item given for payment cannot be used for sacrificial purposes. And number two, Haim Velo Vlado Sehem. It also teaches me that it's only, again, the item itself and not its offspring. Ayu Beis Hillel Haksiv Gam. So what does Beis Hillel do with the word Gam? What does he do with that? Gam Lu Beis Hillel Kasha. The Gemara says, you're right. According to Beis Hillel, we're not sure what to do with Gam. That's a Kasha. So the Gemara says, Ad Kan Lo Pligi Ela Demar Savra Shinui Kona Umar Savra In Shinui Kona. So we'll say, so what's their machlokes? Their fundamental machlokes, ultimately, again, I'm sorry, now the Gemara is going back. The Ad Kan Lo Pligi is Rabbi Eloi and Rabbi Chanina. So first of all, I just want to mention the way that Rambam Paskins, in this case, by Esnan Zona, is like Beis Hillel. Namely, so if a man, right, Reuven goes to a Zona, gives her a sheep, or let's go with the Gemara's case, gives her wheat, she makes that wheat into flour. That flour is permitted to be offered up on the Mizbeach, because the only thing prohibited to offer up on the Mizbeach is the item actually given for payment for immoral services rendered. But if halacha lemaisa, that item given from him is transformed into something else, then ultimately, again, the new item is not considered to be, you know, attached, so to speak, to the zona, and therefore it's permitted for use. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ad kan lo pligi ela. So now the Gemara goes back to yesterday's daft, we learned before. The machlogis rabbi lana b'chanino, Ad kan lo pligi ela, demar sover shinui kona, umar sover ein shinui kona. So we'll say, what's your fundamental machlokis? Your fundamental machlokis is, when a change in the stolen object occurs, when the object is in the domain of the thief, is the thief considered to be the owner or not? That's the fundamental machlokes. So the Gemara says, the machlokes is one opinion holds, shinui kona, that ultimately Rabbi Eloi holds that when the item undergoes a change, when it's in the domain of the thief becomes the owner. And Rabbi Chanina holds, no, not kona, aval le'inyon shalumi, but again, when it comes to repayment, but again, I will say, when it comes ultimately again to repayment, everyone agrees that what? Everyone agrees that halacha lemaisa, we go ahead and repayment is based on the value of the item at the time it was stolen. Diktani, because we learned, mishalim tashlumi kefel, v'tashlumi arba v'chamisha, Kein Shaganov, because again, it explicitly says that it says in the Mishnah that what that halacha or in the Brayz, excuse me, that halacha lemaisa, you pay back the kefel, the double payment, or the arba v'chamisha, the 4 and 5 time payments, in accordance with the value of the item at the time it was stolen. So it says the Gemara lema to have it tiyuf to Rav. So this should be a refutation of the position of Rav. What does Rav say? Amar Rav Karen Kein Shaganov Mishalim Teshlume Kefel V'Teshlume Dalid V'Hei Kishas Hamad Bedim. So Rav has an interesting position. Rav's position is, if you're just paying back principal, so the value of principal is established at the time the item is stolen. If, however, you are paying one of the knas, one of the penalty payments, kefel, or 4 and 5 times arba v'chamisha, so those valuations are made at the time of adjudication. That's what Rav says. So what we just mentioned before just sounded like part of the Gemara was suggesting that the machlokes Rabbi Eloi and Rabbi Chanina is if the item undergoes a change when in the domain of a thief, does the thief become the new owner? But everyone seems to agree that we assess the value of the item at the time that it was stolen. And now Rav comes along and says, it depends. For Karen, for principal, it's at the time that it's stolen. But for Kefil and for Arba v'chamisha, it's at the time of adjudication. Amar Rava, Rava says it depends. It's actually quite fascinating. Tiloim kidme ikara, domim kishal achshav. It's actually quite fascinating. So Rava wants to suggest as follows. Everything depends on how you're repaying. If you're repaying in kind, in other words, if you stole a sheep and you're repaying a sheep, so then the valuation is based on the time that you stole it. But if halacha lemaisa you stole a sheep and you're paying back with money, then valuation is based on the time of adjudication. Right, the value at the time of adjudication. Look at Rashi. It's actually really quite interesting. Rashi says, Tloim kidmei kara, kilomar bolishalim tloim kidmei kara sagi detala gana vitala mashalim. So the logic is like this. If you stole a sheep and you're replacing a sheep, so then it makes sense that it should be a quid pro quo, so to speak, like an even exchange. So you stole the sheep. So now, again, I'm giving you back a sheep of the same value of the actual item that I stole. So I'm literally making you whole. On the other hand, if you're paying back money, so one could make the argument that maybe the obligation is replacement value. So replacement value is not going to be established, and we'll talk more about this. It's not going to be established by evaluating the animal from the time it was stolen, but rather, again, that would be established ultimately from Hamada Badin, from the time of adjudication. It's interesting. Interesting distinction. Amar Rabba, Rabba says, Shinui Kona. So now we're going back. So Rabba comes along and says, Rabba wants to suggest that indeed, if a person stole, right, Reuven stole an object from Shimon, and now while the object is in Reuven's domain, it undergoes some type of change. Some type of change. So now comes along Rabba, and Rabba wants to suggest that halacha lemaisa shinui kona. So now again, if the change occurs under the domain, ultimately again, under the domain of the thief, that halacha lemaisa. That halacha lemaisa, the thief acquires it. The thief acquires it. Okay, so the Gemara says as follows. So the Gemara says, Vitanina. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Rama Rabba, Shinui Kona Ksiva Vitanina. The concept ultimately, again, that the thief acquires the object if the item changes while in the thief's domain, that is based ultimately, again, on a pasuk and on a braisa. So Ksiva, what's the pasuk? Veheshev esagzela sher gazal. The pasuk says, if you stole something, you have to return the object that you stole. Ma Talmud Lomar Asher Gazal. What does that mean that you stole? It Kein Shegazal Yachzir Beimlav Damim Baalma Baishlumi. What it means is as follows. What it means is like this. If Halacha Lemaisa, I'm sorry. One second. I forgot to put my phone to airplane mode. Getting a little bit. Okay, good. So now it's like focus. So Gemara says as follows. So Gemara says Beisho Isagzel Asher Gazal Ma Talmud Lomar Asher Gazal Im Kein Shegazal Yachzir. If the object that you stole is still fully intact, then Enachinami return it the Imlav, and if not, Damim Baalma Baishlumi. And if not, pay back money. Pay back money. So we'll say. So what do you see from here? You see from here, when are you obligated to go ahead and give back the object? When the object that you stole is exactly in the same state that you stole it. But if the item somehow changed, then halacha lemaisa, you're not obligated to give back the object. You just return money instead. All right, Tanina, what's the braisa? So that's the pasuk that backs this assertion. Remember again, Rabba's trying to tell us, shinui kona. Thief steals an item, the item changes while under the ownership, quote unquote, in the domain of the thief acquires the item. So therefore, Rabba says what that means is the thief doesn't have to give back the item he stole, instead he gives back the value of that item. Incredible. So Tanina, what's the braisa? Hagozel eitzim va'asam kelim. If a thief, right, Reuven stole wood from Shimon and he made it into utensils, or tzemer ba'asam begadol, or he stole wool and he made it into clothing, mishalim kishas ha'gizela. He goes ahead and he pays back according to the value at the time that it was stolen. So the Gemara says, inami, lo hispik litno lo ashetzavo, or ultimately, again, let's say Reuven didn't get a chance to go ahead and give it back before halacha lemaisa, again, it was dyed, pater. Ultimately, again, he's pater. Now, what does that mean, pater? What that means is, so again, the common denominator in all these cases is Reuven stole an item and the object changed, right? He stole wood and it was fashioned into utensils. He stole wool and it was fashioned into clothing. Or he stole wool and it was dyed. All of these cases, the object that he stole changed. So the halakha is he has to pay the value. And again, going back to what we said before, how do we establish value? At the time of the theft, although that piece is a machlokis as well as the time of theft, time of adjudication. But leaving that aside, the point over here you see is that when the object has changed in the domain of the thief keeps the object and is obligated to pay back the money. Incredible. Alma shinui kone. Ultimately, so what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lemaisa, a change in an object allows the thief to keep and to acquire the object. So I'll just mention to you, so the Rambam in Hilchos Gineva, this is in Perak Aleph Halacha Yud Beis. So here it is, because this is important halacha. Hagneva atzma shi biyad aganev velo nishtanis. Reuven stole wood from Shimon, and the wood is fully extant, right? The beams of wood are just sitting in Reuven's yard. What's the halacha? Actually, I just realized, because let's do the next sugi of Yeush first, and then I'll give it. Sorry, I didn't mean to tease you there. And then we'll come back to the halacha. So let's go back there. Says the Gemara. Yeush. What about ultimately? Rashi says, "Rav Shina Siyasha Abaylim Amr Rabbanim the Nikni V'Daim Mishalim Damav." So here's the interesting question: Reuven steals from Shimon, and Shimon has Yeyosh. Now we'll talk a lot more about Yeyosh, but Yeyosh essentially means that Shimon gives up hope of retrieving the item. So what happens in that case? Now understand what we're asking. Obviously, if Reuven stole from Shimon, even if Shimon had Yeyosh, Reuven still has to pay him back because he stole from him. The question is, does Reuven have to pay back the object, or does Reuven just have to pay back the value of the object? Because remember, both sides, that's what we're focusing on over here. Remember, Rabba's whole discussion was that halacha lemaisa, if Reuven steals an object from Shimon, does Reuven have to give back the object, or could Reuven just give the value? So Rabba said, it depends. What does it depend on? Did the object change, or did it remain the same? If the object remained the same, in other words, it's the same object from the time that he stole it and it is right now, you have to give back the object. If the object changed, then again, Rabba holds shinui kona, the thief effectively acquires the object. The object is his, and he has to pay back money. Now again, side machlokes, how do we evaluate money? Is that the time of the theft or the time of the adjudication? So we'll leave that on the side. Now the Gemara is asking a follow-up question on that. Reuven stole wood from Shimon, but let's say now the wood is still extant. The beam's just sitting in Reuven's yard. Shimon had Yeyosh. He gave up. He despaired of being able of recapturing, of reclaiming that wood. So now, what's the Shaila? Does Reuven have to give back the wood, or could Reuven just give back the value of the wood? That's the Shaila. So the Gemara says, Amrei Rabbanan, Dinikni Mihu. Good. Yeyosh, Amrei Rabbanan, Dinikni. So the Gemara says, so if there's Yeyosh, the Rabbanan hold that the thief has acquired the item, and therefore the thief only has to make monetary restitution, does not have to return the object itself. Mihu, however, what's the issue? Lo yadinan id oraisa id Rabbanan. We don't know if this halacha is mid oraisa, or this halacha is mid Rabbanan. Okay, so let's analyze this. So the Gemara says, id oraisa, so maybe on one end is oraisa, midi dehavi amotzi aveda. Because maybe it's like a person who finds a lost object. What happens when a person finds a lost object? So he says, motzi aveda, lav kevan demiyayish, right, demiyayish, maramina, mikameda tisliyade, kakanile. So we'll also listen to this. So when it comes to an aveda, kevan demiyayish, mara, mine, mikameda tisliyade, kanile. Since when a person, right, let's say again, we'll say a different kind of case. Shimon lost an object and he had yeyosh. Reuven finds the object. Reuven is permitted to keep it, right? Because ultimately, again, Yeyosh occurred prior to it coming to his hands. However, Hai Nami Kevin Demi Yayish Mara Kanile Alma Kani. So we could say kind of like maybe a stolen object is like a lost object. Meaning what? Just like by a lost object, if the owner has Yeyosh, despairs of ever finding it, of ever retrieving it, someone else finds it, that person gets to keep it. So I should say the same thing by theft. Reuven steals something from Shimon. Shimon gives up hope of retrieving it. Reuven should be able to keep the object. Again, to be clear, he could keep the object. He has to pay back money, but he could keep the object. The Gemara says, "Oh, Dilma, lo dami la aveda." On the other hand, that's not a good comparison. Why? Avedo hu dechi asir liyadei behetira asir liyadei. In the case of the lost object, when Reuven finds the lost object, again, it was heter, right? Shimon lost an object. Reuven found it fair and square. Fair and square, there's nothing illegal, it's totally permitted. Aval hai, kevan de isura asoy liade. But in this case of here, theft, Reuven stole from Shimon. So the Gemara says, asoy de midrabanon hu da amrabanon nikni, mitne takonas hashavim. This is fascinating. So let's listen to this. Maybe the halacha is like this. In reality, when Reuven steals from Shimon, even if Shimon subsequently has yeyosh, despite of giving it back, Reuven should have to give back the object. Should have to give back the object because it came to his possession, so to speak, illegally. Not so to speak, it came to his possession illegally. But also, we've seen this before. There's a concept called Takanas HaShavim. Takanas HaShavim, ultimately, again, means that Chazal instituted certain laws to facilitate the performance of tshuva. Chazal have a vested interest in people becoming Bali tshuva. But Chazal also understood that in order to make people Bali tshuva or facilitate tshuva, you have to make it as easy as possible. So one of the areas where Chazal intervened in this type of situation was by theft. So technically speaking, if you steal an object and it's extant, you should have to give back the object. Well, we will see in certain circumstances, Chazal said you could keep the object because we're nervous that if you make you return the actual object, you're not going to do tshuva. So let me give you the paradigmatic example of this. Reuven steals a crossbeam from Shimon. Then Reuven builds a home, and that crossbeam is in a ceiling. Reuven wants to become Baal Tshuva. So really, you would say, okay, the crossbeam is right there. Reuven, take it out of the ceiling and give it back to Shimon. Well, as much as Reuven wants to be a Baal Tshuva, Reuven is not going to deconstruct his house. It's very important. So people want to do the right thing, but people want to do the right thing as long as it's easy. So Chazal understood this human nature is human nature. So they said, you know what? Reuven, keep the beam. Keep the beam and just pay back Shimon the value of the beam. So the Gemara is suggesting over here, maybe the halacha is like this. When Reuven steals from Shimon, really, if the item is extant, Reuven should have to give it back to Shimon, even if Shimon had Yeyosh. But maybe because of Takanas HaShavim, to facilitate Reuven's tshuva, we want to make tshuva as easy as possible. Don't make him give back the object. Let him keep the object. And instead, what? He'll just pay back money. Okay. For Rav Yosef, Amar Yeyosh, Af Eino Kona, Bafil Medrabanon. Rav Yosef says, on the other hand, no, there's no such thing as Yeyosh by theft. Right? By Yeyosh by theft, again, it doesn't make a difference. The thief does not acquire anything when through the Yeyosh, since the object ultimately, again, came to his possession illegally. So therefore, we'll say, we are left really here with two fundamental issues. Number one, is does a thief acquire ultimately the object that he stole when the object undergoes some level of shinui? Meaning, would he be able to keep the object and just be able to give back money? Or if the object exists in some way, shape, or form, is he automatically obligated to give it back? That's question number one. Question number two is, does the owner's yeyosh somehow allow the thief to keep the object as well and be able to pay back with money instead of the object? So, okay, so now we come to the Rambam. So the Rambam writes as follows. He says, again, Parak Aleph Halacha Yud Beis. He writes, Hagneva Atzma Shi Biyad Haganav Velo Nishtanis. Right? So Reuven stole a beam of wood from Shimon, and the beam of wood is still there. It has not changed at all. So what's the Halacha? Choseris Leba'aleha Bein Lifnei Yeyosh Bein La'achar Yeyosh. So we'll leave that Shevach piece alone. But Halacha L'Maisa, we hold that Yeyosh doesn't make a difference. Right? Yeyosh does not make a difference. And therefore, Halacha L'Maisa, if the stolen object is extant and it is there, it has not changed, the thief is obligated to give that object back to the owner. And Halacha L'Maisa, he can't say, you know what, I want to keep the object, give you the money. He has to give the object. However, what happens if, let's say, again, Reuven took the piece of wood and he changed it, he made it into a bowl, into something else. So we paskin like Rabba, that ultimately, again, shinui kona, that when the object undergoes a change in the possession of the thief becomes the owner of the object. And he writes, ve'enu mashalim ela damim, and therefore he pays back money. So if Rabosa, essentially, Yeyosh makes no difference in this case. In other words, whether the owner had Yeyosh or doesn't have Yeyosh doesn't impact this, because this is a whole illegal case of theft. So therefore, the owner's Yeyosh doesn't impact it. What does impact is the object in its original form, exactly the way it was stolen. If that's the case, if it exists, the thief has to give it back. But ultimately, again, if the object has changed in any way, the thief effectively acquires the object and is obligated to make financial restitution. Incredible. All right, let's go back there. Esir as Yosef Rabba. So we'll say, that is the position of Rabba, right? So Rabba is the one who says, Shinui Kona. That ultimately, again, a change in the object makes the object the possession of the thief. Ultimately, essentially, it's fascinating, removing it from the domain, ultimately, again, of the owner. Now, but I just, again, think about the Musa Haskell on this. What we're saying is like this, right? Shimon, owned a piece of wood, right? He had a piece of wood. Now, Reuven steals the piece of wood, and Reuven makes it into a utensil, right? It's a kli. So now, that change, that shinui, now essentially says, it's no longer Shimon's wood. It's now Reuven's, but Reuven's a thief. I understand, but that's what change does. Change makes the object, shinui makes the object into something different. So I will say, just understand the profundity of this. If change in an inanimate object, like a piece of wood, allows it to fundamentally transfer ownership from Shimon to Reuven, it's now Panim Chadoshos Baalakan, then imagine what change could do for us, right? If change has the ability to alter the identity of an inanimate object, then Haloch Lamaisa, certainly, change could fundamentally transform us. It's interesting, right? You have like these two opposites. We said before, right, that animals kind of have one identity, and that's it. That's the whole identity. They might get bigger, smaller, but smaller to bigger, but the identity never changes. Yet we see over here that inanimate object, ultimately, again, inanimate object has this ability. If it's altered, it has the ability to change identity. So it's interesting, because if you think about man, right, man is made up of both animalistic pieces and inanimate pieces. So Adam comes from Adama, earth, dirt, inanimate. On the other hand, we have senses, urges, wants, desires, animalistic. And then we have an neshama, which powers us through everything. So the shaila is in life, you know, how do you want to identify? Do you want to be an animal? Do you want to be an animal? And just understand whatever identity you carve out, that's it. That's who you are for all eternity. Or ultimately, it's interesting, do you want to identify maybe a little bit more with your Adama piece? Because interesting part of inanimate objects is that halacha l'maisa, if you change them, if you change their identity, then they become something dramatically different. So if I align almost like my neshama, away a little bit from my animalistic side, a little bit more with my Adama side, I have the ability to fundamentally transform myself. Just something to think about. And no, isn't this the tension that I'm always living? Can I change? Can't I change? Can I transcend? Can't I transcend? Am I just stuck in who I am? Or can I become something different? So it's fascinating. You just seen halacha. There are these two fundamentally different models. Okay, let's go weiter. So Rav Yosef is a kasha to Rabba. Gazel chametz. This is a great case. Gazel chametz vavar lava pesach. So watch this. I steal chametz from Reuven. Now I steal chametz from Reuven, you know, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Okay. Then what happens? Pesach goes by and I have a change of heart. I want to be a bal tshuva. So I decide that what I give the chametz back to Reuven. I'll say Amadeis, Omer lo Harish alafanecha. This is great. So I go over to Reuven and say, Reuven, hineni bal tshuva. Here's your chametz. We'll say, what's the problem? That chametz, I owned that chametz over Pesach. That is called chametz she'avar alava pesach, chametz owned by a Jew over the course of Pesach. Chametz like that is asur bano. You can't do anything with it. You can't do anything with it. So I show up at Reuven's house, right? I show up right after Pesach with this chametz, and I say, Reuven, here it is. I'm giving it back to him. Bal tshuva. Look how great I am. Bal tshuva. And Reuven's like, get out of here. Give me my money. Give me the value. That chametz now is worthless. I can't do anything with that. So the halacha is, I have the ability, ultimately, again, to leave the chametz with Reuven and satisfy my obligation. I'm both saying that this is interesting. Now, why is that? Because what's happening in this case over here is, I stole the chametz, and I'm giving him back the same exact chametz. But this chametz that I'm giving him back is now chametz owned by a Jew over Pesach, and it's not usable for anything. But as Rashi points out to her, that's called hezek sheino nikar, unrecognizable damage. And what's the halacha by unrecognizable damage? You're not chayiv. So therefore, again, halacha l'maisa, I could literally repay my debt to Reuven by giving him the chametz, saying shalom a Yisrael. Incredible. I have a high kevam demate idon isura vadai miyayish. But 1 second. In this case over here, right, Reuven, who was the victim, when Pesach came and he realized he didn't have his chametz, certainly he had yeyosh. Certainly he had yeyosh. Now watch this. The Gemara says, now, ultimately, again, if you hold that once the owner has yeyosh, the thief acquires the object. So, am I omer lehareishacha lefanecha? So, ultimately, again, if that's the case, then it turns out it was my chametz, not Reuven's chametz. In which case, again, it's mine, and I'd be chayv to pay back Reuven money. Am I omer lehareishacha lefanecha? So, the Gemara says, demei ma'al yabai shlumile. I should have to pay back Reuven actual money, right? Because again, if you hold that Yeyosh is Kona, that means Reuven before Pesach, Bepashtos, gave up hope of retrieving it. It's like Chametz, whatever, it's going to be done. Silber could have it, or whoever the thief is could have it. So now really, the Chametz that I had over Pesach was my Chametz, in which case I should be obligated to pay back Reuven money. So Amar Lei, so the Gemara says, Ki ka'mina ana zemis ya'ish v'zeh rotza liknos. So remember again, I will say, even if you go at the idea that Yeyosh works, right? That when the owner has Yeyosh, the thief acquires it. That's only when the owner had Yeyosh and the thief wants to acquire it. But in this case over here, Haizem is Yaish Feze Einarotza Liknos. But in this case over here, the thief of me, I'm the thief, right? Reuven had Yeyosh. That's great. I don't want to acquire that Chametz or Pesach. And I was about to say, this is incredible. I stole the Chametz from Reuven. But yet again, the assumption is I do not want to own Reuven's chametz. In other words, I'm keeping Reuven's chametz in my home over Pesach. You know why? Because I'm still assuming it's Reuven's chametz. I don't want to own his chametz. So therefore, again, halacha l'maisa, in that case, Reuven's yeyush will not transfer ownership to him. I both say, this is wild. Think about this just a moment. I'm a thief. Yet even as a thief, I don't want to own chametz over Pesach. You'll say, I, hypocrite. I say, it's not hypocrite. It's all of us. It's living with inconsistencies. You could be a thief, but still not want to own chametz over Pesach. Just like I could wear tefillin and still speak Lashon Hara. Just like I could keep Shabbos and be dishonest in business. I'm not saying these things are permitted. I'm talking about the inconsistencies that all of us live with. We all have inconsistencies. And that's the beauty of the human condition. The Ribon Shalom accepts our inconsistencies as long as we acknowledge them. Where does HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of lose a little bit of patience, so to speak? When I'm inconsistent, but I pretend I'm consistent. So that's already dishonest. So dishonesty, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has very little tolerance for. But to be able to own it, say, you know what? I am a work in progress. And as a work in progress, I am a thief, but I don't want to have chametz over Pesach. I'm makbid on chametz, I'm not makbid on theft. I inconsistent? Yes, I acknowledge it. I own it. Such is the nature of the human condition. Incredible. So Esve Abaye l'Rabbo. So Abaye is the kasha to Rabbo. Karbono. V'lo ha-gozel. So the Pasuk says, remember the Pasuk says, Ola karbono min ha-bakar. So the Pasuk is talking about carbon ola. And if you're going to bring a carbon, you have to bring a carbon ultimately to the Mishkan, to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says as follows. But we learn out karbano means it has to be yours, as opposed to v'lo ha-gozel. You can't steal an animal from someone and offer that up as a karbon. Okay. So Mar says, hechi dami, what's the case? Ilema lifnei yeyosh. If I stole an animal from Reuven and Reuven didn't have yeyosh, lama likra, that's obvious that I can't offer it up. Pshita. So I'll say, obviously, I can't offer up someone else's animal as a karbon. So if I stole from Reuven, Reuven didn't have yeyosh, it's Reuven's animal. If it's Reuven's animal, I don't have any right to offer it up. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, Pshita. Elalav la'achar yeyosh. Rather, it must be, it's after yeyosh. So what do you see from here? Even I stole from Reuven, and even though Reuven had yeyosh, halacha lemaisa again, the animal is still Reuven's. What do you see from here? Shmamino yeyosh lo kani. You see from here that yeyosh does not go ahead and acquire. So we'll say ultimately again. Remember, this is Abaye posing a kasha to Rabbo. Or to Rava, really to Rava. So you see from here, Yeyosh is not Kona. I will say a little bit anticlimactic already because I already read you the Rambam, but again, we'll go through the steps. Amrle Rava. So Rava said, well, Tamech, what about according to your logic? Well, Tamech Hodesanyo, listen to this. Mishkavo velo hagazel. So we'll say the Torah is talking about over here by a Zov. V'isha sheyiga b'mishkavo yichabes begado v'rachatz b'mayim v'tamei adarath. So we'll listen to this. If Rashi says over here, b'mishkavo, so Rashi says, listen to this. If a Zav sits on a cushion, right, and someone else goes ahead and touches that cushion, they become Tamei. But what do we learn from here? Mishkavo v'lo ha-gazel. It's only if the Zav sat on his cushion. What if the Zav stole a cushion from someone and then sat on that? So you can't convey Tuma to something that is not yours. Okay. So Gemara says, hey, Chidami, what's the case? Ilema the gazel amra va'avdei mishkav. Say if the zav stole wool and made a cushion out of it. So mi'ika lamanda amar shinui maisa lo kani. So I say. So remember again, we just saw that when you change an item, the thief acquires it, right? So halacha lamaisa again. So obviously, in that kind of case, even though the thief stole the wool, once he changed the wool into a cushion, he owns the cushion and will have to pay back the value of the wool. If he owns the cushion, then he should be able to convey tuma to it. Elamais the chalameimar. What's the case? The gazel mishkav de chavre. Must be talking about a case where he stole his friend's cushion. And therefore the Torah is telling me that halacha lemaisa, if the Zav steals his friend's cushion, he can't convey tuma to a cushion that doesn't belong to him. Hachinami, the gazel karban de chavre. So I'll say, the Gemara suggests, it's actually very interesting, the case over here is nothing to do with yeyosh. The case over here also is where halacha lemaisa, I stole Reuven's carbon. So what happens if I steal Reuven's carbon? So we'll say, see, that makes a lot of sense. You can't offer up someone's carbon. Why? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, the gazel carbon the chavre, shehikdish chavero. So ultimately, Reuven consecrated an animal as a carbon. Uli olam lifnei yeyosh, Ve'itzrich lashmo inon de'ilu ola l'ratzon klal v'afilu b'ayim. Actually, if you look at the second version of Rashi, v'loshnachrina, the guzzle carbon nechavre, hilchach afilu achrayer shlo kanye, the carbon eno nigzal. So I'll say, here's the interesting part. Once an animal is dedicated as a carbon, you can't steal it. This is fascinating. Why? Because it doesn't belong to you anymore. Who does it belong to? It belongs to Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, isn't that incredible? So if Reuven says, you know, this sheep is for an Ola, and I steal it, so we'll say, so there's no, obviously I have to make restitution, but Lamaisa, there's no din of ownership in that case, since the carbon already belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore, ultimately, again, it's not a classic case of theft. Okay, so good. Now we'll say, now just to review a little bit, remember, We already saw in the Rambam that the Rambam doesn't really make a distinction between before Yeyush or after Yeyush. According to the Rambam, when it comes to theft, really the only thing that matters is the item exactly in the same state in which it was stolen, in which case you have to return the object, or has there been a shinui, some change? If there's a change, then the changed object becomes the property of the thief, and the thief must go ahead and repay back in money. Okay, so just keep that in mind as we keep going through this. Again, I gave you the conclusion still while the process is unfolding, but I think it helps us navigate the sugya just a little bit better. All right, let's go back there. Esve Abayi L'Rav Yosef. So Abayi is the kasha to Rav Yosef. Oros Shabal Abayis. So mostly, let's say again, Reuven has hides, animal hides. Oros Shabal Abayis. So what's the halacha? Machshava mitamasan. Ultimately, literally, thought. What does it mean, thought? When Reuven says the hides are a finished product, well, so we know that by a kli, a utensil is only mekabel tuma if it is a finished product. It's complete, right? An incomplete kli cannot be mekabel tuma. But if it's a complete kli, excuse me, then halacha lemaaseh says mekabel tuma. So when does an item become complete? When does an item become complete? When the owner decides it's complete. That's what it means. Oros shabala bayis, the hides that belong to a balabas, to Reuven, regular guy Reuven. Once he has kavana, that it's done, it's finished, it's mekabel tuma. Look at Rashi. Nachshav mitamasan, Rashi says, balabayis eino asay lemokrin, because a balabayis, Reuven, he's not going to sell the hides, he's going to use them for his own stuff. Vosimem mitos, uduluf koos, vikata bloos, he usually uses them for bed. These are all different types of beds or cots. And again, once the object is ready to be used in some way, and Reuven has kavana for that particular use, the object is finished. Once it's quote unquote finished, then ultimately again it is Makabotoma. So again, I want to point out over here, it's not just the Pshat ultimately that Reuven decides, actually, it's finished. In other words, in order for a kli to be Makabotoma, it has to be usable for something. The idea just is, let's say this hide. So in a very unprocessed, you know, place, unprocessed form, it could be used for a bed. You process it more, it could be used for something else. So as soon as the owner decides, okay, I'm done, it's being used for this, then halacha lemaisa, again, it's finished, and now it's mekabel tuma. Conversely, v'shal avdan, what about a tanner? Ein machshava mitamasan. A tanner is different. Now we'll say, now why is a tanner different? Because halacha lemaisa, a tanner is going to sell the hides. Look at Rashi, v'shal avdan. Ha'asui limkar, ein machshavta mitamasan, da'avid demamlich umazbin, v'alokeach yasam ehen minalim, v'adayin lo nigmara malachtin lakach. So here's the issue. If you're a tanner and you're selling hides, so what's your goal? Your goal is to sell it to the purchaser. What is the purchaser going to use it for? Whatever he wants. Whatever he wants. So therefore, even if the tanner decides, you know what, this is a finished product, it's usable for A, B, C, D, and E, it doesn't make a difference because the tanner is not the one determining its final usage. He may sell a hide to Reuven, and Reuven rashly may decide to make a pair of shoes. Well, to make a pair of shoes requires a whole different avoda. So therefore, again, the tanner's intent doesn't make any difference in terms of Kabbalah's Tumah. Shalganov. Oh, so watch this. What happens if a thief goes ahead and steals something, machshava mitamasan. Then ultimately, again, the thief's machshava causes the object to become a finished product. Rosin, look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Shalgana machshavto mitamasam dekanenu biyeyush dekasaver stam gineva yeyush bailini deloyod lemantavo." Says in Kabbalah, "Say again, remember, garam is surreptitious theft." So the assumption the Gemara is working on over here is as follows: when a person experiences gneva, someone stole from me secretly, I don't know, so I have no idea who to go after. Because I don't know who to go after, therefore, there's yeyosh. And because there's yeyosh, essentially, the ganav becomes the owner of the object. Now remember, the ganav is going to have to make restitution. He has to pay back the money. But he becomes the owner of the object. So we'll say, what do you see from here? Now Rashi's pointing out of here. What do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lemaisa, yeyosh allows the ganav to acquire the object. Fishal gazlan ein machshava mitamasan. But a gazlan, also remember, what's a gazlan? Gazlan is like visible theft. So here, the owner is not miyayish. Why doesn't the owner have the yayush? Because he knows who the thief is. Because he knows who the thief is, he knows who's to go after. Because of that, the thief doesn't acquire the object. Therefore, again, even if the thief decides, it's a finished product, it doesn't make a difference. It's not the thief who determines that. Rabbi Shimon says, chiluf hadvar. Rabbi Shimon flips it. He flips it. He says as follows. Now Rashi points out to here before we get to Shimon. Rashi says, "V'shal gazem hashem et hamasan ve'afapi shechishev alein ledavar she'ein bo chisar melacha kigon lekisei chavilo susim pradim." Okay, skip a little bit. He says, "Nevertheless, the stam gazeros leka yeyosh." So we're both remembering in the Tanakama's model. So a ganav, if a ganav steals something and he decides, "Oh, it's a finished product," it's makabel toma. Why? Because stam geneva, the owner has yeyosh, given up hope of getting it back. Therefore, the thief, the ganav, acquires it. And therefore, it's his mindset that determines when it's a finished product. A gazlan, because the owner knows who stole from him, he doesn't have yeyosh, he hasn't given up hope. Therefore, the gazlan doesn't acquire the object. And therefore, the gazlan's mindset doesn't determine the final status or finished status of the object. Shagazlan, good. So that's good. So Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Shimon flips it. He says, "Shal gazlan machshava mitamasan." He says, "No, just the opposite. By a gazlan, if a gazlan has the object and he decides that the object is finished, it's mekabel tuma. Shal ganov, ultimately again, ein machshava mitamasan. By ganov, ultimately again, his mindset doesn't determine it. Why? Lefi shelo nesiyai shubaylim." Because the owners have not given up despair, have not given up hope of recovering. Now take a look at Rashi. Chiluf hadvarim. Rashi says, "Stam gezela ika yeyush dechevan dele'ene gazla minei inshi almahu." Alamahu. So let's listen to this. This is incredible. So Reb Shimon's logic is like this. Reb Shimon says, "Gezel. What's gezel? I go over to Reuven and right in front of his face, I take the object." Now we'll say, when does a person do that? When they feel emboldened to be able to do that. When Reuven, the victim, sees this, he's like, you know what? If that guy is so much chutzpah to take it from me, there's no way I'm getting it back. A ganav, on the other hand, works repetitiously, sneakily, right? And therefore, again, I don't give up hope. In other words, we'll say, it's interesting, Reb Shimon just flips it. He holds that by gezel, because it's like a brazen act of theft, the owner gives up hope, has yeyosh of ultimately retrieving the object. Right? And therefore, again, the gazlan will acquire it, and therefore his mindset determines when the object is considered to be a finished product. The ganav, on the other hand, the owner does not give up hope of retrieving it, and therefore the ganav does not acquire it. And therefore, aloha lemaisa, the ganav does not acquire it. So I just want to point out something interesting. Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama, they're agreeing, the Rabbanon, they're agreeing ultimately, again, on the same basic concept. In other words, what are they agreeing on? That's what the Gemara says, Shma mina yeyush kana. They both say what they're agreeing on is the basic premise, namely that what? That when a person steals an object and the owner has yeyush, that the thief acquires the object. What are they disagreeing on? They're just disagreeing which type of theft an owner has yeyosh on, right? The Rabbanon will say an owner has yeyosh on gneva, but not on gezela, because he knows who the thief is. Rabbi Shimon says an owner has yeyosh by gezel, because it's so brazen, only a very strong person would do that, and he doesn't have yeyosh by gneva. So that's where the machlokis is. But according to both of them, ultimately, again, they are agreeing that yeyosh is kona. So we'll stop over here for today. We'll stop here for today. Again, I'm leaving off because this is like the natural point just to end off over here. So remember, we're leaving off. So we did the halacha lemaisa, but where the Gemara is in its thought process is trying to figure out, does the owner's yeyosh impact the owner's, the ganav or the gazlan's ownership of the object vis-a-vis restitution? So the Gemara ends off this discussion by saying, yes, it appears that yeyosh is kona. That yeyosh is kona. When the owner has yeyosh, the thief acquires the object. We'll stop here for today. We'll pick up with the remainder of this conversation. Circle back to once again review the Rambam tomorrow. Rabbosai, tremendous shkayach. Wishing everyone an incredible day. Again, I'm sorry I couldn't be there with you in person, but an incredible schos baruch Hashem to be able to learn together, at least virtually. Have a great day.